Seen kids do that in the store. Just pitching a fit. And Grandpa's pushing him down the aisle, and every now and then you could hear Grandpa saying, "It's going to be okay, Albert. It's going to be all right. We're not going to be here very long. You can make it." Kept pushing him through. People could hear him all over the store. Finally gets up and standing in line to see the checkout. And there he is. Oh, Albert's. He says, don't cry. It's going to be all right. And the lady behind it, she's been watching this, and she's just been admiring this grandpa. And she says, "Sir, I just got to tell you, I've just been watching how you've been dealing with Albert, and I'm just so impressed." The grandfather looked kind of puzzled, and he says, "My grandson's name is John. I'm Albert." "It's going to be okay, Albert. It's going to be all right. Don't cry, Albert." You ever feel like Albert some days? I'm not a grandpa yet. I'm way too young to be a grandpa. But if Jesus doesn't come back soon, more than likely, eventually that time will come, I'll be a grandpa. And I'll try and learn a few lessons from Albert. But it's tough being patient. I have a tough time sometimes being patient. Now, I love patience as a concept. Don't get me wrong. Don't you? I love it, especially if I'm on the receiving end of patience. See, I'm so glad my mom was patient when I was a little boy, teaching me to tie my shoes. It seemed like I took forever to be able to tie my shoes myself. But she patiently taught me, and now I don't have to call her to tie my shoes anymore. So patience pays off, right? I love being on the receiving end of patience. I love it when my creditors are patient with me. If I owe somebody money, I like it when they're patient with me. They give me time to pay it back, right? I love patience when I'm out on trying to merge onto the interstate and there's a lot of traffic. You know, a lot of people come, maybe there's a slowdown and there's traffic. I love it when somebody, you know, slows down and waves you in when you're trying to get on. Don't you like that? I love that. I love being on the receiving end of patience. What I have trouble with is sometimes being on the giving end of patience. Don't you? Like when somebody owes me money. Now that's a different story, right? Or, has this ever happened to you? You're driving down the highway, and all of a sudden you see one of those big red signs that says, "Road construction ahead, merge right, 2 miles." And so what do bright people do? They get over as soon as they can into the right-hand lane, right? Here's what drives me crazy. I've gotten over in the right-hand lane when I'm supposed to, and I've slowly gone all the way up there. And it's just about that point where you go from two lanes to one, and you look back there and some idiot is driving past that whole line of stopped cars, comes right up to the front, and wants to turn and get in front of me. I have trouble being patient. Is he the idiot or is he the... Oh, okay. Don't do that anymore. I get impatient. Well, if I'm sitting in the car, the answer is no, I'm not letting you in. Find another sucker to pull in front of. Anyway, but we love to be on the receiving end of patience, don't we? We don't like so much being on the giving end of patience. This is the Advent season. We've got the Advent candles here and the Advent readings that we read. Advent's all about patience. It's about learning to be patient. Because I'm guessing like some of you or like some of me, and we have trouble being patient. We struggle to deal patiently with life's challenges, whether they're big challenges or little challenges. Do you sometimes wish somebody would invent a patience pill that you could take that would just make you patient? Now, I'm not talking about Valium. I'm talking about a pill that would actually make you patient. Do you ever pray for patience? That's a dangerous prayer. Praying, "God, give me patience," because God does not open up our heads and unscrew the top and pour patience in. Patience comes in very difficult ways. So we're thinking of Advent, we're thinking of patience. I believe the place for us to start learning about patience is in looking at God, to learn about God's patience. I want you to open up your Bibles, because in the Bible, God teaches patience. that he is patient. God himself is patient with us, wants to give us the opportunity to move towards him. And we can take the gift of God's patience in our lives and in our ministry and help us to move towards him. 2 Peter chapter 3. In the New Testament, towards the end, 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning with verse 8. And it says, "Do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient with you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of the Lord, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt away as they burn. But according to his promises, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth, in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. And count the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you according to the wisdom given to him." Now, I just want to briefly talk about what Paul says here, or Peter says here. First of all, he says that God is patient. Why? Because he loves us. The reason God is patient is because he loves us. Some people back in Peter's time and some people today still don't believe in God, or don't believe that God is going to do anything about the current situation that our world is in, because they think his promises won't come about because he appears to be slow in keeping those promises. The fact of the matter is, when you study prophecy in the Bible, you can see that God's promises often do take what seems like to us an awful long time to be fulfilled. Do you know that it took over 500 years, more than 500 years, from the time that God first promised Abraham that he was going to give him the land and to give him all the things that God promised him? It took over 500 years from the time God made that promise to Abraham before Joshua finally led the children of Israel to go in and take possession of the land. Did you know that it took over 1,000 years from the time that God promised David that he was going to have a son who was going to be the king, the Messiah, that he was going to reign? If you've ever been a parent, you understand that helping your children learn things for themselves is often a very slow, a very painstaking process, because we're often tempted to want to do things for them. See, Abraham got faith, but Abrahamic faith didn't happen overnight. God didn't just pour Abrahamic faith onto him and make him suddenly a man of faith. Abrahamic faith was tested over Abraham's lifetime. And sometimes he struggled with that faith. Sometimes he didn't do so well. Sometimes that faith wasn't quite as strong as God wanted it to be. But God was patient with Abraham and gave him an opportunity to develop and to grow that faith. We know that with a child, it's easier sometimes to do the job ourselves than to patiently teach and train that child how to be able to do it themselves. But if they don't learn that lesson, then they will never mature and grow. God patiently works with us to learn these difficult lessons of spiritual maturity because he loves us. God doesn't want to lose a single one of us. That's why Peter says, the Lord is not willing that any should perish. God doesn't want to lose a single one. He wants all to come to him. God doesn't give up easily on us when we make mistakes. God loves us so much that He gave His most treasured possession, His Son. That baby born in a manger that we're celebrating His birth in a couple of weeks. That baby. Where's Lee Sisk? Lee Sisk, I'm going to pick on you. Lee's here with his baby. First Sunday, little Jason's in church, right? Got the whole family here. What would you take in trade for that son? $1 million? All the gold in the world? Wouldn't take a thing for him. Why? Because you love him. That's right. A father's love for his child. That's the way that God was with Jesus. He loved that child. Imagine how much He has to love us that He was willing to allow that child to grow up to bear our sins. That's how much God loves us. And in His love, God is patient with us. And we can follow that example and we can learn to be patient with others. Maybe those that have hurt us. Maybe those that we get frustrated with because it seems like they're slow to change. We need to learn that lesson of patience from our Father. Because God loves us, He has given us time to move towards Him. God wants everyone to come to repentance. Repentance means literally to turn towards God, to turn around, to change direction, to be drawn near to Him. In 2 Peter 3, verse 15, it says, "Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation." Now let me tell you something about the Fletcher family. Whenever we're going to go someplace together, the whole group, all of us, in one vehicle, at the same time, we get in that vehicle, right? And it's just happy mom and dad and now nine happy smiling Fletchers, all lined up in a row, getting in that van, one right after another, right? Is that how you think it works at my house? Because if you do, I've got some stock investments I'd like to recommend to you right now. No, and it's usually we're sitting in there and it's like, and I'm not going to start naming kids, but, you know, it changes from time to time. But where is, and we're all ready to go, we're running late, where is, but they're not there. And if you've ever been in that situation, aren't you tempted? Wouldn't you just love to leave them? But you can't leave a three-year-old at home alone for very long. We've tried it before. It's messy when you get back. You wait for everybody to get on the van. Why? Because we love them. We're a family. We want everybody to get there together. Our Lord's patience means salvation. If God wasn't patient, none of us sitting here today would be saved. Amen? Not a single one of us. Now, back in the year 1974, there were lots of people on earth that wanted Jesus to come back then. In fact, Hal Lindsey had just written his book, The Late Great Planet Earth. People were talking about the rapture and waiting for Jesus to come back. And I'm sure churches were filled with Christians praying, "Jesus, come back in 1974. Come back today, Jesus." And praying that prayer in earnest. And some of you probably prayed those prayers. I'm here to say I am glad that Jesus did not come back in 1974. You know why? Because I didn't accept Jesus until 1975. Jesus had come back in 1974, I wouldn't have accepted Him as my Savior. I wouldn't have been baptized. I wouldn't have been following Him as a Christian. I would have missed out on my chance at entering into the kingdom of God. So I'm glad God was patient. And I suspect some of you are too. Romans chapter 2, verse 4, Paul says, "Or do you show contempt for the riches of His kindness, tolerance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you to repentance?" God's kindness, tolerance, and patience leads you to turn towards Him, gives you time and opportunity to do that. When God shows His patience and tolerance for you, it's a good thing, right? When it's for you and for me. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by His grace through redemption that came by Jesus Christ. God presented Him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in His blood." Why did He do this? He says, "He did this to demonstrate His justice because in His forbearance He had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished." That word forbearance that Paul uses there means literally patience. God left the sins of previous generations unpunished because He gave an opportunity first for Jesus Christ to be born and to live and to die on the cross and to rise again for our sins. That's why God showed patience. Paul explains this in Acts 17. I've got just one or two more scriptures, but in Acts 17, when Paul is preaching in the city of Athens, and he's challenging the folks to turn away from their idols, from their statues, worshiping them. In verse 29 it says, "Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think of the divine being as like gold or silver or stone, an image made by man's design and skill." This is the one I want you to hear, especially in verse 30. "In the past, God overlooked such ignorance." Ignorance means literally lack of knowledge. God overlooked such lack of knowledge that led to their idolatry. "But now He commands all people everywhere to repent, to turn around, to change direction. For He has set a day when He will judge the world with justice by the man He has appointed. He has given proof of this to all men by raising Him," that is Jesus, "from the dead." God has been patient with sin in the past, but we must not confuse God's patience with indifference on His part. God requires repentance of us in order to receive the gift of salvation that He wants to give us. God demands that we be moving towards Him, not away from Him. We should not confuse God's patience with the faulty notion that God's going to forever look the other way at sin. God loves everyone. God wants everyone to repent. God wants everyone to move towards Him. God has given lots of opportunities for people to repent, to move towards Him. God has overlooked sin for thousands of years and giving people a chance to repent, but still He requires us to repent. So we can use the gift of His patience in our ministry of bringing others to repentance, to bring others to Him. 2 Peter 3:10 says, "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare." This is true. But since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be, church? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to that day and speed its coming. But Peter's saying, don't get lulled into a false sense of security here, thinking that we're going to have forever, that Jesus is never going to come back. Just because God has been patient and given us time to repent, He's not going to wait forever. God's patient, but He still is just and will deal with sin once and for all. A day is coming, and I believe soon, when Christ will come and God's judgment against sin will finally be poured out on the earth. Now, I'm here to testify. I'm a father. I'm an imperfect person. I make all kinds of mistakes every day. I try to be patient with my kids. I try to stay calm, disciplined with loving firmness, give warnings for consequences that are to come. When my children do something wrong, I try to give them a time to change their mind and change their behavior and do the right thing. But there comes a time, and kids figure this out, by the way. They can tell by how far the vein starts to stick out on the neck and how red your face is when that time is. Kids are smart about this. They know when that is. By the way, do you ever wonder why your kids respond better to other people than they do to you? Because they don't know when they've crossed over that line with somebody else. They figured it out with you, but they don't know when that line is with somebody else. So they play it safe with others, but they know. But with all of that said, I try to be patient. My patience runs out eventually. God has a whole lot more patience than I do, but there still comes a time when wrong actions will be repented of or have to be repented of or will be dealt with by His judgment. Romans 11:22 says, "Consider therefore the kindness and sternness of God." Two hands. sternness to those who fell, but kindness to you, provided that you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. We have to continue following God. As God's people, we have to continue turning towards him. We have to continue in the faith. There is no such thing as once saved, always saved when it comes to the Lord. Discipleship is a lifetime commitment, has to be continued. Judgment is coming. God's patience and tolerance will one day come to an end, and his wrath will be poured out on an unrepentant earth. Peter says you ought to live holy and godly lives. Holy means set apart from sin to serve God. Godly means devoted to the worship and the service of God. How we live matters. As the time gets shorter, our opportunities to bring others to repentance also gets shorter. As individuals and as a church, our primary focus needs to be on us living holy and godly lives and then sharing our faith with others to help them use whatever time is left, and we don't know how much time that is, what is left of God's patience to come to know God through faith in Jesus Christ. And so Ephesians 5:15 tells us, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Well, you don't need me to stand here and tell you that the days are evil. You can turn the news on and see that. But I'm here to tell you that we need to make the most of every opportunity. How are you using the gift of God's time that he's given you? How are you using God's patience? I'm going to speak first to those of you who have never accepted the gift of Jesus Christ as your Savior. You might be tempted to think, I got plenty of time. Jesus hadn't come back. It's been almost 2,000 years. He's not going to come back tomorrow or next week or next month. What's the rush, preacher? Let's get home. I want to eat. I am here to tell you, you don't know if you will be alive tomorrow. None of us have a guarantee. The Bible says now is the moment of salvation. Not next week, not next month, not next year. Now is the moment of salvation. And I urge you not to put it off even one more day. Make a decision today. Turn to God, turn away from your sin, follow Jesus Christ, and make him your Savior. Be baptized and live for him. God is patient. He's giving you time. This today is your time. Now, for those of you who have already made that commitment to follow Jesus Christ, here's my word to you. Wake up! Do I have your attention? Okay, just checking. There are more and more people in this world who have not yet made a decision to follow Jesus Christ. We're not living in Kansas anymore, as the, you know, they said, Dorothy, we're not in Kansas anymore. We're not. This isn't a Christian nation anymore, in case you hadn't noticed. Don't assume that because somebody's an American, that means they know the gospel of Jesus Christ, because I'm telling you, a lot of them don't. Don't assume, and it's our job to share that message. Whatever time is left, it's our job, the church's job, to get that word out about Jesus Christ. I hope and pray that we as a church, Bethel Church of God, will take advantage of the remaining time that God has given us to be a witnessing people. We have all benefited from God's patience. But let's not hoard that patience. Let's not keep it all to ourselves. Let's use it to get at least one more person to escape the judgment that is to come upon this earth. Let's use every day until the Lord Jesus Christ comes to share the hope and the salvation and rescue as many as possible from judgment. Imagine what our church can be if every single one of us will take seriously this call to minister in the name of Jesus Christ.